Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
From suicide bombings to human rights issues, Afghanistan is frequently in the news, but we don't hear much about the news in Afghanistan. In a recent issue of the Columbia Journalism Review, Vanessa Gizzeri provides a fascinating glimpse into Afghanistan's fledgling media. Hundreds of newspapers, scores of magazines, dozens of radio and TV stations, all staffed by Afghans. Despite the ongoing war, the media force is gaining strength, and journalists are facing unique challenges, though. Vanessa worked in Pakistan and Afghanistan for 10 years. She writes that much of that time, there was hardly any journalistic community in Afghanistan. She joins us now. And Vanessa, as this journalism is developing, give us a thumbnail. What does it look like? Is it funded by the Karzai government or by NATO? Is it largely independent?
You know, to say that Afghan media is at a point of independence now is difficult. Many, many Afghan media outlets have started up, both, as you mentioned, in print and in radio, which is very wide-reaching in a country with a low literacy rate. And those are largely run and staffed by Afghans, but most of those organizations receive some funding from either political parties in Afghanistan, the government, or international donors. And so the degree to which they're independent really varies.
Well, one of the other problems that you write about, we want to get to that, is that there's, you know, this is a country that's learning what journalism is, that it's not, for instance, espionage. But there is this growing sense of journalism and journalists. And so you go to visit the press club in Kandahar, and you meet a man who's a correspondent for the Voice of America's Pashto radio service. And he tells you, it's a great line, he says, journalism here is like sticking your hand between open power lines. What does he mean by that?
He means that really you have to be very careful as a journalist, not just that you don't upset people on one side of you, but that you don't upset people on three other sides of you. And this is an issue for journalists writing specifically about the war in Afghanistan, who have to balance the interests of multiple parties to the conflict, all of whom these reporters have to talk to. And it's also, interestingly, quite an important issue for journalists who are not particularly covering the war. So there are all kinds of power centers in a country in which the government is not solid. Reporters are pretty much on their own in terms of balancing the interests of all these different actors.
Well, and this is also a country in which, you know, communication is not direct traditionally. Also, as this correspondent tells you, Afghans have learned not to tell the truth, and that's because of years of occupation. You've got communists, the Mujahideen, the Taliban, and now, you know, the current war. He says after each sort of spasm, lying was increased 10%.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to clarify for Americans what he means by
right.
that, because I don't think he means that Afghans are all liars. But there is a way in which storytelling has become a weapon for not just Afghans, but people in difficult places in which the political or power centers are constantly shifting. So what you say may be the only thing you have to deflect violence or undue attention from yourself and the people who you're trying to protect, your family, your village. And this has become a way of living for Afghans, and they're not alone in this.
And let's learn about some of them. Mohammed Nader, for instance, a journalist who's picked up by NATO forces and interrogated and detained and thrown in a cell. Very frightening experience. And one of the reasons they suspect him is because they've got cell phone records that show that he spoke to the Taliban. But he's a reporter. He has to speak with the Taliban.
NATO views the Taliban as its enemy and as the enemy of Afghan people. And it really doesn't at times seem to completely get that the job of journalists in a conflict is to talk to people on every side. NATO has its own interests and its own story that it wants to tell, as do the Taliban, as does the Afghan government. And the job of a journalist like Mohammed Nader is to talk to all of those people and try to put together something that gives an accurate or semi-accurate picture of what's going on.
Well, and if you say NATO, you know, and allied forces, sometimes don't understand the role of a journalist, that in fact it's not to disseminate public, you know, PR, that Afghans don't understand it often either and confuse it with espionage.
A lot of Afghan reporters told me that when they go out to villages in remote places and they talk to people, what those Afghan villagers see is an Afghan who come from the city, who's wearing, you know, maybe Western-style clothes and asking questions and writing down what they say in a notebook or recording it with an audio recorder. And yeah, Afghans in general who are not familiar with the press and haven't really seen journalists working in their country, they don't know what else that could be except you're gathering information for somebody, and who would want information except members of the intelligence services. There is actually a long history in Afghanistan, at least in modern Afghanistan, of intelligence services working in this way. I mean, certainly under the Soviets.
And then there's gender issues. You follow a female journalist in another piece. How is her experience different from Mohammed Nader's?
Nader is a Kandahari. He's really working on the front lines. It would be very difficult for her to report in Kandahar, so she reports in Kabul. It's a totally different environment. She covers actually health and education. She was constantly being stopped by security guards and told to get off the sidewalk when she was interviewing people. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that journalism is a hard thing for Afghans to get their mind around anyway. But when you see a woman doing it, especially an Afghan woman, that's very difficult.
Yeah. As you write, this is a culture that's steeped in storytelling. So that becomes an interesting part of this, too, that they love storytelling.
Western journalists focus in a laser-like way on facts, and Afghan journalists much less so. And that's because, in reality, there are many other elements to a good story beyond the facts and what's true, what can be proven. That's in some ways a very narrow way of looking at what makes a story good. And in Afghan culture, which is an oral culture and where stories are preserved and last because they are interesting or absorbing in some way, not necessarily because they're literally true, you can see where there might be a little bit of a disconnect between what Afghans think is a really valuable story and what we in the West might think is a valuable story in a journalistic sense.
Yeah. Vanessa Ghazari on the growing Afghan media. She's also working on a book about the U.S. military program that sends civilian anthropologists to help military units understand local people. Vanessa, we look forward to that. And thanks for your time now.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and just a reminder, if you want to listen to this piece or any piece on the program again, you can just go to hearnow.org, download a podcast, take it with you, or search the archives and listen there, hearnow.org. You're listening to Hear Now.